I am excited to share God's word with you, and we are beginning a little new focus this morning within our Keep Your Lamp Burning series about anxiety, and so I'm anxious in a good way, excited to share God's word with you. So let's pray, and we'll start. God in heaven, would you be good to us this morning? You say, God, when two or three are gathered in your name, and I believe, Lord, that the gathering that's taking place here, of course, among us, within the facilities, and then our brothers and sisters online, that, God, you're with us. And, Lord, I know there's distractions with all the weather and the snow, but, God, I pray that this would be a divine moment for us as a church family. God, would you meet your sons and daughters individually this morning, wherever they may be, with your help, with your provision, with your grace. And so, God, please, we turn to you. We ask your mercy to be upon the Hamlins this morning in particular. God, we pray that you would be with them and guiding them, encouraging them. Also, I pray that you would help us be ready to serve our neighbors in their times of need. We know that you are with us, and we're glad to be here together. In Jesus' name, amen. So anxiety is a growing epidemic in America today. By almost every metric and in almost every population group, more people are reporting that they suffer from some sort of anxiety disorder. And that's not a good trend. But maybe most alarming is that anxiety is going up in the lives of the youngest among us. Our children are struggling more and more with anxiety too. Since 2009, there has been a sharp increase in 12 to 17-year-olds reporting depressive episodes and anxiety. And it's not just that kids are self-reporting. There's also been a sharp increase of both minor children and college-age men and women being admitted to the hospital because of the harm they're inflicting upon themselves due to anxiety and depression. It's also relevant to me that sharp increase of self-harm and depressive and anxious experiences correlates with the rise of cell phones and social media in particular with young people. I think that's worth us parents and even you young people thinking about. And while none of this is good news, I have good news for you this morning. God has a lot to say about anxiety. God knows about anxiety. He's aware of our particular susceptibility to being anxious. And most importantly, he has help for anxiety. He has grace and truth to help us deal with the anxieties that come upon us, that walk with us in a very unwelcomed way. Now, you wouldn't know, though, that God in the Bible talk about anxiety a lot by observing how few people turn to the Lord when anxiety strikes. Unfortunately, God is one of the last consulted and leaned upon when anxiety builds. And unfortunately, the general population and even many those who attend church are much more likely to turn to medicine or yoga or psychologists, even new diets, to find relief from anxiety before consulting the Lord. Now, that does not mean that you would not include all of those resources with your help to help you fight anxiety. In fact, I would say God wants you to use all of his resources that he provides for us. He's created them. He wants us to use them when anxiety builds. But here's what I think needs to happen. I think we need to flip the script a little bit. Rather than seeing those other aids as the primary help for anxiety and God only being kind of an afterthought or being just a supplemental help, no, I think that we should see God as the primary source of anxiety and then use the tools that God has given to us, like medicine, like psychologists or counseling, like healthy eating, like exercise, Those are the tools that God gives to us to use, and we use them in faith, looking to Him for our help. In fact, I would suggest to you, my good friends, that recent developments in remedies for anxiety actually show that God's way should be your primary source of help. Let me see if I can illustrate this for you. Cognitive behavioral therapy, I'm guessing some of you have heard that before. Cognitive behavioral therapy has become a standard psychological treatment for those struggling with anxiety disorders. In fact, the core principles of cognitive behavioral therapy, according to the American Psychological Association, are listed like this. Let me share with you a few of those core principles that they say. They say that psychological problems are based, in part, on faulty or unhelpful ways of thinking. Well, friends, that's what we would say God's Word teaches. God's Word teaches that. God says that we remain trapped in bad thinking by our patterns, but by His grace and by His Word, God changes the way we think when He gives us a renewed mind in Christ. And with that renewed mind, we can think about our world, we can think about our challenges, we can think about other people differently, which will help with anxiety. Here's another core principle of cognitive behavioral therapy. Psychological problems are based, in part, on learned patterns of unhelpful behavior. Well, again, friends, that's what we'd say. We would say that. The Bible talks about this as slavery to sin. Slavery to sin. That because of our sin problem, we remain in bondage to ungodly habits and patterns of thoughts and actions that keep us trapped in cycles of discouragement and despair. The American Psychological Association continues on their website, this is where I got their information from, with some strategies of cognitive behavioral therapy to help with anxiety disorders. And here are some of the strategies. They list learning to recognize one's distortions in thinking that are creating the problems, and then to reevaluate them in light of reality. In light of reality, think about that. What's reality? Well, it's the truth. And who's the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. So this is exactly what God's Word would tell us to do. We want to help see reality as it is, and we best see reality as it is by looking to Christ and His wisdom and His Word, by looking at what He says about how the world works, how we work, what other people are doing, how God's created our world. And then we want to reevaluate, just like this strategy suggests, we want to reevaluate our situations, our struggles, our world in light of the truth of God's Word. And when we do that, we'll be helped with anxiety. Or another strategy, using problem-solving skills to cope with difficult situations. You know, I think one of the biggest misconceptions that we Christians have about our faith is that we think of it, you've heard me say this before, kind of like pixie dust, like God just sprinkles this magical pixie dust on us when we become Christians, and then everything in life becomes easy, everything in life becomes simple. But that's not the way Scripture talks about our faith. Instead, this is what God's Word says. God's Word says that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins on the cross, and He rescued us from the bondage of sin, forgiving us of all of our trespasses. And when He has done that, then He gives us His Spirit so that we can live in accordance to His wisdom, His commands, as we follow them in faith, even through difficult situations. And when we do, we experience the blessing of walking with God. Now, we're going to make mistakes. And when we do, there's forgiveness. There's an opportunity to turn back to God and live in the new life that Jesus died and was raised to give us. And so, friends, that also is the way we battle, just like cognitive behavioral therapy suggests, how we battle the temptations to anxiety. Now, what I'm trying to demonstrate for you this morning is how advances in psychological research to help people in their times of anxiety have actually already been revealed in the pages of Scripture. And what I hope that does in you is a hope that increases your confidence now as we turn to the Bible, that you're turning to real help. That when you turn in the Bible to learn what Jesus says about anxiety, you are finding real help. And when there's real help, there's real hope. That's my encouragement to you. So we're going to spend now 3 weeks talking about anxiety, partly because there's so much information about it. Jesus says a lot about anxiety in the Bible, and even in the passage we're going to study here in a few moments. But also we're going to study this for 3 weeks because it's such an important topic. Many of us, I'm guessing, struggle with anxiety to some degree. It's a universal human problem. Now, we may not all deal with it in the same degree, but we all have some sort of worry and anxiety that we experience in life. Many of us live with people who go through times of anxiety, and so we want to be a blessing to those around us, understanding what's happening in them and how we can pray for them. And then, of course, as I mentioned even earlier, just the exploding epidemic of anxiety in our young people, I'm hoping will make us all care deeply about this help. So if you have a Bible, turn there, Luke 12. Let's look in the scriptures together. A new passage this morning, Luke 12. We're going to read starting in verse 22. Luke 12, starting in verse 22. We're going to read through verse 34. And here's the words of Scripture. And he said to his disciples, Jesus speaking, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They neither have storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Over the next 3 Sundays, starting today, I'm going to break this passage apart. We're going to look at it in relative detail, okay? And so if I don't maybe touch on a portion this morning that you're interested in or that strikes you, hey, chances are we'll talk about it in the next week or two. Right? Do you see? Jesus' opening statement starts with the word therefore, right there in verse 22. Do you see that? Therefore. That's a key word. And that key word helps you see that Jesus is teaching now about anxiety is based on or comes up to us because of what he just taught us in the previous passage. Right? It connects the thoughts together. I'll give you an example. If I said to you, "Therefore, I'm moving to Florida," you'd be like, give me a little bit more information, Brian. Okay, so you're saying you're going to move to Florida, but I'm not sure why you're wanting to move there. Help me out. Like, you'd be hungry for more information. But if I said to you, "You know, I'm so sick of this snow," no amens on that one, right? "Therefore, I am so sick of the snow, therefore I'm moving to Florida," you'd be like, "Okay, Now I know why you're moving to Florida. Hey, I think I'll join you. I'll go with you, right? Like you would know the information. You'd know why I'm doing it. That's exactly what we want to see here. When Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious, he's connecting it with the thought before. You see, Jesus just told his followers, we just looked at it last week, right? He just told his followers, don't store up more and more. He just told them that life isn't found in the abundance of and the accumulation of money and possessions. Instead of building more and more bigger barns to store more and more of your items, like as if life is found in them, he says, give them away and be rich toward God. Now, put your thinking caps on, First Baptist. What's going to be the new temptation if you obey Jesus' words to not store up more and more for yourself and to be rich towards God and helping other people, even during times of opposition? What's going to be the new temptation? What are you going to struggle with? Well, the word is anxiety. That's what you're going to struggle with. You're going to struggle with the questions like, well, how do I know I'm going to have enough? And what happens if I lose what I have? And where do I turn if I don't have the money and the food that I need? What if I run out? You see, Jesus knows exactly where our mind will go when we face a situation where we're afraid that we might be in lack of the things that we need, that we might just get anxious. But here's what I want you to notice. Notice from Jesus' teaching in our passage that even though that's true, we don't have to be slaves to anxiety. We don't have to be trapped by anxiety. It's not a foregone conclusion, First Baptist, that you will be anxious just because you don't have as much stuff as you would like, or that there are certain people who are against you. See, that's why Jesus is giving us the teaching on anxiety, because we don't have to be trapped with anxiety. And so here's something that I want to encourage you to believe. I think this is what Scripture is telling us. While there may be times and situations and hardships that make anxiety more likely, our life situations do not cause anxiety. Okay, let me say that again. Okay, while there may be times and hardships and situations that make anxiety more likely, a greater temptation, our life situations don't cause anxiety. Meager times don't cause anxiety. Other people working against us don't cause anxiety, right? Now get this. Research published in the Journal of the American Medical Association showed that anxiety is more prevalent in rich countries than in poor countries. There's more people reporting anxious experiences, anxiety disorders in rich countries than poor countries. Poor countries that do not produce a lot of GDP and the population is largely living in poverty, and the countries that scored the lowest in anxiety and the poorest were countries like Nigeria and Poland and Romania, countries that do not have a lot of means. They reported anxiety disorders impacting less than 1% of the population, while wealthy countries like the USA and Australia, New Zealand, reported anxiety disorders as much as 8% of the population. Now, you might just think it's the exact opposite, right? You might think that the poorer the country and the fewer the resources, fewer the food supplies, the greater the opposition or hardships, would mean more anxiety. And the richer the country and the abundance of resources and the relative, you know, kind of insignificance of the opposition of people around us and the hardships that we go through would mean less anxiety. And it's the exact opposite, according to research. And let me tell you why. Because anxiety has more to do, friends, with what you think, what you expect, what you believe, what you do, than how much money you have, how prosperous you are, how much hardship you go through, or how little you possess. Okay, just think about that. Now, let me say that again. Anxiety has more to do about what you think, about what you expect in life, about how you live, what you believe, than how much money you have, how many possessions you own, and the hardships that you go through in life. So let me summarize this point, okay? There are real circumstances that increase the likelihood or the temptation of anxiety in our lives. And some of us are even prone to anxiety more than others, like our makeup. You know, just the way God made us, our makeup is just a little bit more susceptible to anxiety. But even though that's the case, we don't have to be passive victims to it. There's something we can do in faith. There are behaviors that we can change. We can think differently. We can adjust our expectations in life. We can change the way we live, the patterns of our lives. And for some of us, because anxiety is such a regular, unwelcome companion on this journey of life, we have to get a little more diligent, a little more disciplined, maybe incorporate medication as part of the tool, put it in the toolbox, making sure we're a little more disciplined in what we eat or how we exercise, all those things. Like, God created them for our good, and we can incorporate them into our plan that God is giving to us. But I just want to encourage you right now that you don't have to remain a passive victim to anxiety. Okay, that's the first point I want to bring up. There's another key word, though, that I want to show you this morning, and it's the first word, or it's the word in verse 31, the first word in verse 31. Look at the very first word of Jesus' words in verse 31. It's the word instead. Instead. Now, to understand what Jesus is getting at, you have to know what he's trying to contrast right there. In the previous two verses, verse 29 and verse 30, Jesus is giving kind of some negative commands. And what I mean by negative commands is he's saying, don't do this. And I'll just summarize what he says. He says, you know, don't be like these other nations that don't know God. Don't be like these other nations who don't know that God provides, that doesn't understand that God supplies. They seek food. They seek shelter. They seek all these kinds of things as if that's where life is found. Instead, all right? So what he's describing in verse 30 is a kind of life that actually increases the likelihood of anxiety. Seeking, seeking, seeking. Trying to find these things. Making sure I've got enough. But Jesus is saying there's a different way to live, and that will help you with anxiety. So look what he says there in verse 31, the whole verse. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Now, what are these things? Well, it's the stuff that we need, the food, clothing, the wisdom how to interact with people. And what Jesus is saying is the stuff that people who don't know God, they seek after that, Jesus will give you. I'll give you that stuff. Don't worry about it. Don't seek after those things as if life is found in them. Seek my kingdom. And friends, I really believe on the authority of God's word. Not based on my experiences, because I have very little. But based on the authority of God's word right now, like, this is a key to our battle with anxiety. That we should preoccupy our mind, our heart, our time with the matters of the kingdom. That your anxiety will actually go down as God provides you all the things that you need as you seek his way, as you seek his kingdom. Now, I want to try to illustrate this for you, and I want to suggest to you that this actually makes sense when you think about it. It may not at first, but I want to persuade you with the scriptures that this isn't like Christian magic. Like, this isn't some miracle that we'll only understand in heaven someday when we get there. Like that pixie dust I was talking about earlier. Like, this isn't just magical Christian pixie dust that God sprinkles on and just kind of magically works out. No, this actually makes sense. Let me see if I can illustrate this for you from a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, let me tell you what's happening in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul is trying to help the Corinthian church. He's trying to help them understand how they should think about marriage, their marriage, in light of their faith. He's also trying to help single people understand their situation in life in light of their faith, okay? That's what he's talking about. That's the context. Now, let me read for you just a few verses, 29 through 31, and they're on the screen for you. Paul says, "This is what I mean, brothers. The appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it, for the present form of this world is passing away." Now, let me explain to you what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, live in the world as Christians in such a way where your earthly situation, whatever that situation might be, is not the most important thing. Live as if Christ is the most important thing. Don't live like marriage is the most important thing in your life. Live as Christ is the most important thing in your life. Well, because he is. But live that way. If you got reasons to laugh or cry, if you're rich in the world or poor in the world, don't live like your situation is the most significant thing in life. Christ is the most significant thing in life. And so live like Christ is most significant. The appointed time is short. Jesus is coming back soon. Live like he's at the center. Now, that's what I think he means when he says, if you're married, live like you're not married. Now, I don't know about you, but what we just read, I think, sounds an awful lot like seek his kingdom. Make sure the kingdom is the most important thing, the most important priority in your life. Now, this blew my mind when I was preparing, all right? Let me read for you the next verse, the very next verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is what Paul says to the Corinthians. He says, I want you to be free from anxieties. I want you to be free from anxieties. Like, how cool is that? That's the magic of God's way, right? That's what I mean. That's the way it works. When your vision, my good brothers and sisters, is dominated by what you will eat and what you will wear, where you live, and how others are going to treat you, you're going to be anxious about those things. Like, if that's where your vision is, if your vision is about that stuff, your anxiety will go up. We get anxious about, we get fearful of those things that we set our eyes upon and our mind upon. That's how anxiety keeps going up. And God is saying, when you set your eyes on the kingdom, when you set your eyes on Christ, and your vision is not dominated by what you will eat or what you will wear or who's against you or where you're going to live, your anxiety on those things will go down. They'll go down. Now, why does it work that way? Well, go back to what we learned from what I shared with you about cognitive behavioral therapy, right? Anxiety is based in part by faulty and unhelpful ways of thinking, not about your circumstances, not about your challenges necessarily, primarily about what you think and where you set your mind. And friends, I really believe that one of the biggest mistakes that we make with our Christian thinking is failing to set our mind on the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. I'm so hopeful to God for you, my brothers and sisters. I know a good number of you struggle with anxiety quite frequently. I am sympathetic to your struggle because I know it's so hard. I know it's not an easy battle. I know it's a daily challenge. And I know you can't snap your finger to make it go away, and I know you can't pray it away. But I'm so struck by Paul's words there in 1 Corinthians 7 when he says, I want you to be free from anxieties. Like, I really believe that that's God's heart for you. I believe that's God's heart and desire for you. He wants you to be free from anxieties. And he has help. And I really believe the help that God has for us primarily comes in the form of truth, in the form of teaching and wisdom that redirects our focus away from the things that we get anxious about here on this earth to the matters of eternity. And the more you focus on the kingdom, the more God will help you with your anxious struggles. You know, whenever I think of this truth, this idea of where do I set my eyes? Where do I look? I think of that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I asked Kevin if he would come and play this song for us. We're going to sing this song in closing. We're going to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Because this song captures, I think, just the heart of what Jesus is trying to share with us this morning from the scriptures, that as we set our eyes upon him, the stress, the anxiety, the worry about the things of this world slowly fade away. And so we're going to close the song, close this morning's service by singing this song this morning. Why don't you stand with us as we do that together? God in heaven, thank you so much for bringing us here. Thank you so much that we could gather as your church family, even online. God, wherever we may be at. Lord, I pray that you would help us keep seeking you. Keep seeking the things that are above where Christ is. And Lord, we are fully aware that anxiety might be something we have to deal with on a daily basis, maybe even for the rest of our lives. But God, you have help for us. God, show us that you care for us. Remind us of your desire that we would be free from anxieties. I pray that that would help us, God. Your care, your love, your goodness would help us. God, trust that you're with us and that you're not leaving us alone when we're discouraged or when we're panicked. And so, God, give my brothers and sisters, my friends, God, all that's needed to keep walking with you and fixing their eyes upon you. Lord, keep us in your care as we now leave this place and we press into our regular weekly routine. May we be fruitful in all that we say and do and honor you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thanks, First Baptist. Have a good and safe Sunday. You are dismissed.